96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight on this Medical Monday, we're taking a look at viral hepatitis. May is Hepatitis Awareness Month. You may have heard of hepatitis, but don't know what it is or how it's contracted. Well, joining me to talk about this is Dr. Charles Howell. He is professor and chairman of the Department of Medicine at Howard University Hospital. He is also the director of the Viral Hepatitis Center at Howard University Hospital. If you have any questions or comments about hepatitis, particularly if you're just not sure what it is, maybe you've heard, but you're not sure, now is the time to call. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Dr. Howell, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's talk about, in the basic terms, what is hepatitis? Most people know it as hepatitis and not viral hepatitis. Give me the rundown on what it is.
So that's a very good question. So when we say hepatitis, we're referring to injury to the liver. Most specifically, we often say inflammation, but it's basically a form of injury that can occur in any type of organ. There are many different causes of hepatitis or inflammation of the liver, but this month we're focusing on viral hepatitis. That is, injury to the liver caused by viruses that primarily infect the liver. And these viruses can cause injury. Some of it's quite severe in the short term, and in other instances it may occur over long periods of time, leading to ultimately to liver cirrhosis and or liver cancer and need for liver transplantation in some cases in which the injury is severe, leading to liver failure.
Hey, now, let me make sure that I understand. You said that hepatitis can affect organs other than the liver. Is that correct?
No. Well, some of the answer to that is yes and no. But viral hepatitis is called, is labeled in that manner because these viruses preferentially target the liver. They grow in the liver. They reproduce themselves in the liver preferentially. In some cases, they may infect other cells in the body, for instance, the white blood cells or some other organs. But the primary or the focus of injury in these cases is in the liver.
Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. There are several types of hepatitis. A lot of people are familiar with hepatitis C, but there's also an A, there's a B, there's a C. Is there also a D? There's an E, is that correct?
Yeah, there's hepatitis D and E as well.
Okay, so what's the difference, and why is hepatitis C so prominent? Let's start with the differences.
So the difference has to do with the structure and the makeup of the viruses. So, but as it relates, and there are also differences in the mode of transmission. But the three most common types of hepatitis in the United States are hepatitis A, B, and C. So of those, when you look at acute hepatitis, that is hepatitis that's short-lived and self-limited in nature, that is, it runs a course and may go away, hepatitis B is responsible for approximately 50% of those. And then the remaining 50% is almost evenly split between hepatitis A and hepatitis C. Now, the modes of transmission differ. So hepatitis A, the mode of transmission is what we term fecal-oral. That is ingestion of contaminated food or beverages. There are also some other risk groups as well. For hepatitis B and hepatitis C, there are significant overlaps in the way they are transmitted. For instance, both of them share injecting drug use as a mode of transmission.
It's interesting because off air we were talking earlier about some very prominent people who have also been very public about having it at one point in their lives. Natalie Cole, the singer, hepatitis C. Pamela Anderson Lee of Baywatch fame also had or has hepatitis C. But and before I even go into the intravenous drug use or the other forms that you can contract it, I want to kind of go back to the fecal-oral piece that you were just talking about, contaminated food. What kind of contamination are we talking about? Are we talking about being contaminated with a hepatitis virus, or is there something else that leads to that?
So typically, well, there are several modes. So in the U.S., probably the most common mode of transmission, a form of transmission, is between household contacts of persons who become infected with the hepatitis C. Hepatitis A virus, and there's some interesting features of hepatitis A that make that possible. It's been observed and noted that transmission of hepatitis C tends to occur in households where there are young children, for instance, often children in daycare centers, perhaps as well as in and those who are still using diapers. Why is that? Because when children become infected with hepatitis C, they rarely have symptoms. And as you know, children are not, at least young children, are certainly not known for their concern with hygiene.
I mean, they're kids. What do they know?
Right. Yeah. And so as a result of that, oftentimes when they're infected with hepatitis A and they're shedding it, and it's shed primarily in the feces, that's when it's transmitted to others within the household. And so you will also find hepatitis A among the staff of daycare centers, for instance. There are other modes of transmission. There also is an increased risk of transmission among persons who, men who have sex with men, for instance. There's one of the risk groups. And it is also important to note that we also do see outbreaks of hepatitis A in what we call common source outbreaks. That is, outbreaks in situations where, say, for instance, food products, particularly fresh fruits and vegetables, you may have heard about cases in which lettuce, for instance, was contaminated, or you heard Vidalia onions in another case some years ago. And so persons who consume those products are likely to become infected with hepatitis A.
I want to talk more about this, particularly with other forms of contracting hepatitis. Also, is it curable, treatments? And how do you know if it is an issue for you? Are you at risk if you have it? How do you know? Give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about viral hepatitis. May is Hepatitis Awareness Month. A lot of you may have heard of it but don't know what it is, how it's contracted. My guest is Dr. Charles Howell. He is professor and chairman of the Department of Medicine at Howard University Hospital. He is also the director of the Viral Hepatitis Center. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Now is the time to get the information that you need. This is a rather complex issue here, and we want to make sure that we get all of the information that we can to our listeners. Let's go to Denise calling from Prince George's County in Maryland. Denise, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. I want to call to encourage the listeners, if they are diagnosed, to seek the treatment. I'm the mother of a son who received treatment for hepatitis C as a result of blood transfusions he received as an infant. And the treatment that he received has cured his hepatitis. His viral load is zero. And going into the treatment, he was treated at Mayo Clinic in Florida. Going into the treatment, they were not sure whether or not that would work as an African-American male. But he withstood the course of treatment while he was a student at Hampton University. And praise God, he is cured of hepatitis. And so I just want to encourage all the other listeners who may be looking for information or scared, as I was, to please talk to their physicians and get more information and then ultimately to seek the treatment.
Okay.
Well, there is a cure.
Well, Denise, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. And with Denise's comment in mind, Dr. Howell, I wanted to make sure that we put out the information about the week of events, actually month of events, that are happening here at Howard University and in the surrounding area. You can get information at 202-865-HEP1. That's 202-865-4371. You can also send an email to the Viral Hepatitis Center at HUHEP1. That's HUHEP1 at howard.edu. I promise we will also be putting that information out on whur.com after the program. And we'll talk a little bit more about what's happening during the course of this week. But I want to make sure that we get more phone calls in quickly at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Certainly, we'll be taking your calls on Sirius XM, Channel 141, if you're still on the line. Dennis from Upper Marlboro, quickly, what's on your mind? Dennis, go right ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just have a simple question. In terms of the hepatitis C DNA, what are the major treatments or how did your diet, exercise, all of that kind of that stuff plays into countering or treating the disease? And I'll just listen for the response.
Sure thing. Go right ahead.
Was that question related to hepatitis
yes,
A and B?
C. He said C, I believe. Was that C, Dennis? We lost him. I believe he said C.
So basically, let's go back to the previous caller, because I think that it is fair to say that in earlier times, certainly between, say, 1991, when first treatment for hepatitis C became available, and 2011, when the treatment with the new class of drugs were first developed.
Hold on to that point, because I need to take a break. But Dennis is on the line, and I hope he's still listening, because I want to make sure that he gets the answer to his mm-hmm. question. Because, again, this is a very, very complex virus, and treatment, I would imagine, is equally as complex. And I want to make sure that everyone gets all of their information. So if you are on the phone, please do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We will be talking to Janice, James, Melinda, and Nichols on 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a moment.
The Howard University.